Jesus winds up his Sermon on the Mount, recorded in Matthew chapter 6, he has these words for us. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Let the day's own trouble be sufficient for the day. Do not be anxious. Apparently, Jesus and the disciples had not yet gotten their third quarter investment and retirement portfolios statements.
That's good advice, hard to remember.
Certainly is. Do not be anxious. We were driving quite a long trip this last week back from Wisconsin with a newborn, having a very good trip, actually. And late in the day, right at sunset, actually, we were driving between Wichita Falls and Seymour, one of those places on the panhandle not uncommon at all, where you can basically see the horizon in all four directions. And again, right at sunset, driving into and then watching the sun set and then getting the light show for the next half hour or so of the colors in the changing western horizon and Venus, the evening star that night, which for me was an image of what I call the big picture. Kind of puts things in perspective in a way. We don't see the sunset all that often. And to have it so dramatically in front of us made me feel somewhat small and at the same time somewhat secure. The evening star Venus is as far away as most things that we can see are. But that's relatively close compared to what we know from some of the other planets. The solar system of which we're a part, not a very big one. The sun itself, sort of a medium-sized, lukewarm star in the context of the vastness of the Milky Way galaxy, which is only a small part of the universe God created, which suggests to me that we haven't got everything all figured out yet. There's a lot out there that we don't know. Not just that we don't know, but what we can't know. And there's a great deal of wonder and mystery associated with thinking about things beyond what we typically see, not just the sunset or the evening star, but beyond that and beyond that. And is there anybody else out there? It's almost implausible to imagine that in the vastness of what we know is the universe, we're it. And we don't know everything there is to know about the universe. There's plenty left to wonder about. That big picture suggests to me that the wonder of what not only we don't know but can't know gives us the idea that, maybe what we do know can make us less anxious because there is a wonder and mystery beyond which we can understand. And we may at some point learn this. I was having a conversation with my brother-in-law at the wedding last week, and we were talking about such things that made us anxious and so on. And he said, you know, when I get to heaven, the first thing I want to do is line up at the information booth. But it's going to have to wait. And in the meantime, it strikes me that this big picture, this sunset and glowing sky, may help us dial down the anxiety because there are wonders yet to be revealed, wonders that can only be given unto us and give us some perspective. It also occurred to me as I was watching this picture unfold is that in the grand scheme of things, this picture doesn't change very much. Yes, if we went to that same spot at sunset tonight, the sun would set a couple of degrees further to the north as it would in subsequent nights, but on December 21st, it would set as far to the north as it's going to and then would come back. And on March 21st, it would be dead into the west. And on June 21st, it would be as far to the south as it ever gets. And within those limits, it doesn't change very much. I find that reassuring. The ancient pagans found it reassuring when they noticed that the days began to get longer on or about the end of December and had a solstice festival. Thank you, sun god, for not abandoning us. You came back. There is a rhythm, a steadiness, and a consistency that almost by way of metaphor we get from the one who drew it up this way to give us some sense of, again, security, to give us reason to dial down the anxiety. For in the midst of troubled waters, if you will, there's a steady hand on the rudder. In the grand scheme of things, things do not change very much. There's a steadiness and a consistency to that picture in the west at the end of the day, which gives rise to the same picture in reverse in the east at the start of each day. And within very narrow limits, it stays the same. I appreciate that. The big picture, have no anxiety. There is a steady hand on the rudder in troubled waters. Which suggests that in our own lives, there is a level of steadiness and a level of wonder that we sometimes lose sight of when trouble hits. When I was doing some training as a hospital chaplain early in my educational work, we were taught that the best way to understand yourself so that you can also understand the people with whom you interact, the people whom you want to bring a word of hope and a kind of ministry, is to understand your own limits, the limits even of your own strengths, and also the experiences you've had of loss, of love, and most importantly of coping. Even as a relatively young person, we had all had experiences of things we'd lost out on, whether it be a student council election or the cat we now no longer have, or some such thing. I mean, small images of things that caused us stress and at the time, great grief. It just could have been a bad hair day when we're 13. But all of those things, when you add them up, teach us a little something. Teach us a little something about how to cope. Maybe they teach us most dramatically about how to cope with, live through, get over, and most importantly, learn something from our own mistakes and lapses in judgment. When we're 15, 16, 17 years old, we make bad judgment calls because we really don't know how to make good ones yet. And we learn to make good judgments after having learned from the mistakes we've made. And as we move onward into life and gain some experience, we become agents of help. We become ministers, if you will, and all of us do, whether we're formally trained and given the job in a context like this or not. And our ministry is the result of shared experience. And in the big picture, in the shared experience of people we call the church, there's very little that we haven't seen before. And when any of us is involved in a moment of high anxiety, or when we're collectively involved in moments of high anxiety, whether it be from the stock market or any other such thing, well, we have mostly been here before. Even the reports we hear coming on the business channel say, well, the market dropped to its lowest point since, well, some other day, that we have been through and have come back. And in the process, we have learned to cope. We miss out on the sunsets and the sunrises mostly because of high anxiety. And it's useful from time to time to dial it back long enough to take a look at the big picture. The big picture that is full of wonder, containing more than anything else, more questions than answers, which suggests a kind of mystery yet to be unfolded. But at the same time, a kind of steadiness and security and stability that we can count on. And in the middle of our own lives, high anxiety or not, between the sunsets and the sunrises, in and amongst the clouds, in the company of people who shared an experience and who've been where we are and will teach us how to get through it, we find a rainbow. And that's the rainbow we call ministry. And it leaves us at the end of each day, anxious or not, with an image of hope. Amen.